verse. All right.
There is pardon for sin and the peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides.
Sing it out.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Hey, Grant, you want to give me a hand putting this flag up?
Maybe later. Actually, I'd love to.
And here I thought guys your age just wanted to talk about girls and face Graham on Insta-Twitter.
So close, Grandpa. So close. So, where's this flag going?
Out front, like always.
But there's already a flag out front.
This is true.
So, two flags? Grandpa, this isn't a double rainbow thing, is it? One flag is enough, don't you think?
What's a double rainbow thing?
You know, the video where he's in his backyard and he can't understand why there's two rainbows and... You just kind of have to see it.
To answer your question, I'm swapping the flags out. One out front, I fly year round, but this one is just for today.
How come?
Okay, this is one of those moments you wait for. It may as well be a neon sign. It says, dispense wisdom here. So what do I say to my grandson, whose generation seems more interested in selfies and sacrifice? What do I tell him about this flag? Come on. So, I fly this one every day just to remind myself.
Of what?
Of all those men and women who serve us, who protect us every day. Usually without much thanks. Without anybody even noticing how much they sacrifice. I don't want to forget that. So, I fly this one to honor those men and women.
Okay, I get that. But why this flag today?
Well, I fly this particular flag to honor a buddy of mine. A guy I served with.
Do I know him?
Nah. I wish you could have.
So what makes you want to honor him?
Because he didn't come home. And it just as easily could have been me. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget any of the men and women who didn't get to come home. You know, sacrifice is not something you forget, Grant. So, that's why this particular flag on this particular day. You know what? You do it.
Me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Can you hold my phone?
Sure.
Love this country. You could have been born anywhere else. For some, you were born other countries, and the Lord has allowed you to come to America. And what a blessing. You say, well, yeah, but Pastor, our country has done a lot of bad things lately. That may be true, but it's still the greatest country in the world. The freedoms that we still hold dear, the freedoms we still enjoy, we thank God for them. To all the ones that have served, are currently serving, and to some, to the family and the memory of those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. We're grateful. What an amazing country that we live in. When 9/11 happened, they said the recruiting offices were overwhelmed with those that were coming to volunteer to go into the service. That's the country you live in. Freedom isn't free. Never has been, never will be. So always remember that. To the young people, it's more. When you look at that flag, and I know especially right now in our country, there are those that are trying to, you know, discredit the flag. There are those, for lack of a better phrase, idiots that are trying to change its colors. It is the blood of those that have given ultimately that has kept those colors going. Be thankful for where you live. So with that, open your Bibles today, please, to two places. I'm going to have you open the Romans chapter 1, but I want you to read for reference point and actually for title of the sermon, I want you to look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 12. There's one verse we will read together. As you will see, young people, especially young people, our country was founded on the Word of God. I know we have a world that, and even in our nation, there are those that is often referred to, you'll hear me refer to them as history revisionist. Meaning, not a big word to bore you, but that's what they are. They try to rewrite our history. And they very intentionally try to rewrite our history, young people, and take God out of it. If you take God out of our founding, you do not have a proper history, historical facts of how we came into existence. So don't ever let anyone do that. Also, I would say to not just the young people, to the adults alike, God's given you a brain. I'm not saying that to insult you, but God's given us all a brain, and I suggest we start using them. I suggest we start studying our founding. I suggest we start studying how this country came about. It's important that we keep it. It's important that we keep it ever before us. It's important that parents, that we keep it ever before our children, our teenagers, and let them know we are not a country that came in existence by accident. We are a country that came into existence because it has the fingerprints of God all over our founding. Don't ever forget that. But Stephen took his family to Washington and did a lot of the tours and saw a lot of the monuments. It's been a long time. I did it when I was in our senior trip, which was quite a while ago. We went and we saw that. But I would encourage you, if you've never done that, I would encourage you to go to Washington and take a look at the monuments and some of the things that you see. It's phenomenal. Our history is amazing. Our history is incredible, how God has blessed our country. So don't ever forget your history. Psalm 33, verse 12. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but I'm just using it for reference point. Most of the time we take a passage, we exposit the passage, but I want to use this one verse to springboard off of, and then we will go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to do this in a hurry today. We got to get these kids on the road so Brother Stephen can get down there and preach for those folks and be a blessing to them. Psalm 33, verse 12. I want you to see it. Young people, you got your Bibles out? That's fine. If you have them on your phone, that's fine, but just make sure it's the Bible. Everybody got a Bible? All right, so you sit there with my wife. Everybody got your Bibles out? If you don't have one, there's one in front of you, or lean over and borrow someone. Look on somebody else's. Psalm 33, verse 12, the very first sentence. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Father, we love you. We ask your blessings on your word. We pray your Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide. Forgive us of sin, Lord, we pray, that would hinder this service. In Jesus' name I pray and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I want to give you three thoughts this morning. Now, when you think about our country, you come now to Romans chapter 1 is where we'll spend the remainder of our time. I have a lot of stuff in my office. Actually, quite a bit of stuff. Too much stuff, to be quite honest with you. And I very intentionally keep a lot of historical documents. I keep a lot of historical things. You know, one thing, I'm 43, and I know some of you think, well, preacher, you're too young to start getting forgetful. Well, I get very forgetful. Sometimes I do. My secretary's been very good to me as far as keeping me updated, and I actually been talking to Brother Stephen, make certain, trying to get used to technology and getting my calendar synced, actually getting my calendar even started on my phone, getting it synced to the church calendar, so I don't forget stuff, because sometimes I do. This year, it just got busy, a lot of things have happened, forgot a couple, and I never do this, but had forgotten a couple of pre-marriage counselings that I had set up. And I would be after church on Wednesday night and was talking to a bunch of people. And one couple looked at me and said, preacher, did you forget we had counseling tonight? I'm like, yes, I did. I totally forgot. So we get by nature, as we get older and things, and they say it gets worse. I hope it doesn't, because, man, I've gotten forgetful. If there's something I never want to forget, it's how our country was founded. Our country, the founding of our country. You say, yeah, but preacher, maybe you're one of the teenagers that says, yeah, but preacher, I don't really like history. Well, I will say to you, and I'll just say it from my heart. History, if you're in college and take a history class, to me, that's one of the hardest classes to take. You say, preacher, why was it hard? I'll tell you why it was hard for me. It's because what I thought was important, my professor apparently didn't think was important. What he thought was important, I thought perhaps wasn't as necessary. So when it came to exam time, well, we'll just say, please pray for us when it comes to exam time. But history, we got to remember our history. You say, preacher, is it important? Well, yeah, let's think about our history today. You see, it was July the 4th, 1776. Let me read some stuff to you. You say, preacher, why is it important? We know this. Well, let me just remind you, because it's important for me to remember this. July the 4th, 1776, it was signed in the city of Philadelphia, one of America's historic documents, the Declaration of Independence. It marked the birth of this nation, which under God was destined for world leadership. You see, first point of our sermon this morning is that when the context blesses a nation whose God is the Lord, we see the sovereign in our founding. The Lord Jesus, God, is the one, as he's all over our historical documents. He's all over our founders. I read one statistic, and I forgot to bring it to the podium this morning, but I thought I read that of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 29 of them held what we would consider a seminary degree. You say, preacher, you say, why are you telling us that? I'll tell you why I'm telling you that, because we live in a culture these history that is trying to revive our history, that is saying that those founding fathers, they were a bunch of deists. They were a bunch of people that didn't believe the Bible. They were a bunch of people, some perhaps even uneducated. No, 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 friend, that's not true. They knew exactly what they were signing. They knew exactly the repercussions that would happen to them once they signed that document pledging their independence from the motherland. You say, preacher, why is that important that we know this? Well, listen to this. We often forget in declaring independence from earthly power, our forefathers made a forthright declaration of dependence. Young people, hear this. In signing this document, they were pledging, here it is, they made a forthright declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. Almighty God, Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus, not Allah, not Buddha. The nation that we live in was founded on Christian principle. That's important that you know that. You say, yeah, but preacher, yeah, but we live in a nation where it's very eclectic. We live in a nation that's very eclectic as far as religiously. That may be true. And there's a lot of different religions, even in our country, and we respect them. Amen? We respect them. We're not going to run around and be mean to them and all that. But we must realize that our country wasn't founded on any other God than Jesus. You got to remember that. But listen to this. The closing words of this document solemnly declare, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The 56 courageous men who signed that document understood that this was not just high-sounding rhetoric. They knew that if they succeeded, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling new nation. If they lost, they would face a hangman's noose as traitors. Listen to this, young people. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in war from its hardships or from its bullets. But they considered, liberty much more important than the security they enjoyed. Amen, amen, amen. They considered, listen, kids, they considered liberty much more important than the security they enjoyed, and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. They fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price, and indeed, freedom is never free. Someone has said, to be born free is a privilege. To die free is an awesome responsibility. Little did John Adams know how significant his words would be when he spoke to his wife Abigail on the passing of the Declaration of Independence, when he said, listen to one of the founding fathers said, young people. He said, preacher, don't bore us. I'm not trying to bore you, and God forbid I would be boring. But I want you to understand, this nation is founded on Christian principle. Say that with me, young people. Our nation was founded on, wait. All of us make this, let's say it together. I'm going to say it. Our nation was founded on Christian principle. You say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Our nation was founded on Christian principle. Don't ever forget that. You say, preacher, why do you not want us to forget that? Because 10 years from now, I'm not a prophet or a prophet's son, but 10 years from now, I wonder how much that'll be said even on Fox News. So I'm a Fox News person. Hey. Amen. That's fine. Amen. I watch Fox News occasionally. I don't watch it religiously. I want to jump off a bridge. You say, why? Man, sometimes you watch news, and some of you see, I don't care who, that's between you and the Lord who you watch. But my point is this, we better remember our history. And we better, we not only better remember it, you say, well, preacher, you're telling us, surely we won't forget it. If you're like me, as you get older, you'll forget some things. It's gotten so bad in our house, true story. It's gotten so bad in our house. We bought Christmas presents years ago. I promise this truth. We bought Christmas presents, Brother Bill, years ago. We got This is how far it goes back. Years ago, we bought Ashley a guitar for Christmas. And my wife and I, we got her some other little things, guitar picks and some other little things to go with that. And we hid them somewhere in the house. We still haven't found them. That's been years ago. You say, well, why? We hid it in a secret place. It was so secret, me and Leslie still can't remember where we hid it. But when we find it, what a day that would be, right? It's going to be glorious. It'll make the bulletin if I find it. But listen to what John Adams said, young people, talking to his wife. He says, I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will take, that it will cost to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of light and glory. I can see that the end is worth more than all the means. The end is worth more than all the means. Where would we be who are citizens? That's what he said to his wife. And then let me close with this statement from the writer of this letter here. He says, to those who sacrificed for our freedom, the end was worth the painful means. Where would we be who are citizens of the United States of America be today if there had not been those who counted the cost of freedom and willingly paid it? Our country sometimes, honestly, sometimes loses its mind. And sometimes you say, preacher, why is it that our country tries so best to rewrite our history to say that we weren't founded by the sovereign God? I'll tell you why they try to do that. It's because they don't want to be accountable to anyone. But we must understand, every one of us that is in this room. And I'll say this, whether you're saved, a born-again believer in Christ, or whether you're lost, not born again, let me remind you of something. On the authority of the Bible, you will stand before a holy God one day. Every one of us will. Now, to those of us that are born again, our sins have already been forgiven because we repented. We believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. God has saved us. God's forgiven us of our sins. So therefore, because of that, we will stand before Christ as what the Bible refers to, the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. But for those that do know not, and at the Bema seat or judgment seat of Christ, our service will be judged as a believer. Our service to Christ will be judged, not our sins. That was judged on Christ 2,000 years ago. But if you die lost without Christ, if you die lost without Him, you've never trusted Him as Savior, and you die in that state, you'll stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And sweet friend, that will be horrible, because it will be there that you will hear Jesus say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And you'll be cast into the lake of fire. He said, preacher, why is that important that we understand our founding? And there's so much more. I love this article. It says, when America cried for Bibles. Young people, you may not be aware of this. But there was a time when America had gotten so alarmed. And the reason it had gotten so alarmed was this. The American Revolution, it says in this article, right out of our history, it says, was in full swing. The Bible, through more than 150 years of early settlement in America, remained the base of her people's religious devotion, her education, and her colonial government. Did you hear that? The Bible, for that first 150 years, the Bible, through more than 150 years of early settlement in America, remained the base of her people's religious devotion, her education, her colonial government. These Bibles had been shipped in from England. Now, suddenly, the American Revolution cut off the supply and the stock dwindled. Here was America in its greatest crisis. Listen to this, kids. Here was America in its greatest crisis, at the American Revolution, at its greatest crisis without Bibles. Patrick Allison, chaplain of Congress, placed before that body in 1777 a petition praying for immediate relief. It was assigned to a special committee which weighed the matter with great care, and he reported. And they said, preacher, well, what were they so upset about? They needed Bibles. The Bible supply had gotten cut off. They were in desperate need for Bibles. Would to God our country gets back to that. Wow, isn't that amazing? And listen to what the committee The special committee weighed the matter with great care and they reported. Here's what that special committee reported back to Congress. That the use of the Bible, listen to this, kids, that the use of the Bible is so universal and its importance so great that your committee refer the above to the consideration of Congress, and if Congress shall not think it expedient to order the importance of types and paper, the committee recommend that Congress will order the committee of Congress to import 20,000 Bibles from Holland, Scotland, or elsewhere into the different parts of the United States. Wow. It was George Washington that says it's impossible it's absolutely impossible to rightly govern man without God and the Bible. George Washington said that. And yet we have history revisionists, again, not to bore you with a big word, but we have the historians that are trying to rewrite our history and say that George Washington didn't care anything about God or the Bible. That's not our history. Study your history. So much. What about the great college, Harvard? Harvard. Everybody knows Harvard, right? Do you know why Harvard was founded? Let me tell you why. It took only 18 years from the time the Pilgrims set foot on Plymouth Rock until the Puritans, who were among the most educated people of their day, founded the first and perhaps the most famous Ivy League school. Their story, in brief, speaking of Harvard in 1638... Their story, in brief, is etched today in the record of Harvard. Listen to this. This is Harvard University. The founding of Harvard University. So, yeah, but preacher, Harvard's drifted a long way away from its founding. That may be true, but you do understand, you cannot deny founding. You can't do it. Our church was founded out of a church in Kentucky. That's our history. Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, still in existence, by the way. A few years ago, I preached, get this, Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, is that right? Mount Pleasant Baptist near Katy's, Kentucky. I preached their 200th anniversary several years ago. And our church came out of that church. It was the mother church of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. That's our history. There may be some, yeah, but we didn't come out of there. You can say whatever you want to say, but it doesn't change history. And that's what you need to realize. It doesn't change. So Harvard University. We won't keep you long, I promise, because these kids got to get on the road. Harvard, here's what they declare. After God, this is amazing. After God had carried us safely to New England, and we had built our homes, provided necessary for our livelihood, reared convenient places for God's worship, and settled civil government, one of the next things we longed for and looked after was to advance learning. And to perpetuate it to posterity, dreading to leave an illiterate ministry to the churches when our present ministers shall lie in dust. Harvard's college first president and tutors insisted that there could be no true knowledge. Listen to this, kids. It's Harvard University, the founding of Harvard University. Here's what the first president and tutors insisted, that there could be no true knowledge or wisdom without Jesus Christ. Wow! Listen to this. And but for their passionate Christian convictions, did you hear that? But for their passionate Christian convictions, there would have been no Harvard University. Harvard's rules and precepts adopted in 1646 included the following essentials. Everyone shall consider the main end of his life and studies. Listen to this, man. This is incredible to me. Everyone shall consider the main end of his life and studies to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. Now you say the name Jesus, and sometimes people get all bent out of shape because you say, claim the name Jesus. And they cry out for separation of church and state. You realize that is nowhere in our declaration. That was in a letter that Thomas Jefferson, in the context of dealing with some Baptist churches, it was in a letter. That's the only time it was stated. But we buy into the lie, do we not? We buy into the lie. It says, oh, you got to keep it separated. May I remind you, our history was never to keep Christianity out of the government. It was to keep government out of the churches. So much that we buy into. Seeing the Lord, listen to the rest of it says, and I'm almost done. I'm going to be done in 7 minutes. That's my goal. Everyone shall consider the main end of his life and studies to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. Seeing the Lord giveth wisdom, everyone shall seriously by prayer and secret seek wisdom of him. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the scriptures twice a day. This was from Harvard's president and tutors. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the scriptures twice a day that they be ready to give an account of their proficiency therein, both in theoretical observation of languages and logic and in practical and spiritual truths. According to the reliable calculation, 52% of the 17th century Harvard graduates, listen to this, from a public institution, a public university, 52% of the 17th century Harvard graduates became ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ooh, wow. Would to God that still happened today. That was in our public institutions. You see, to deny Jesus Christ was intricate in our founding is to be willfully ignorant. We live in a culture that often is willfully ignorant of truth. Romans chapter 1, let me read a few verses of scripture to you. In the context of Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Romans while in Corinth. Or vice versa. I might have got that wrong. But he's writing this letter dealing in the context of Corinth. Now you say, preacher, what's the context? The context is this. It was a very immoral society. Homosexuality was even in Paul's day. Paul talked about that in the verses we read last week as far as dealing with the Corinthian church. He used the term effeminate. He talked about be not deceived. He used a bunch of different sins, fornicators, idolaters, drunkards, effeminate. He shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he said to the Corinth church, and of such were some of you. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ that God uses through the shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection of his son to forgive sinners of sin. You say, preacher, why do people sin? Here's let me answer that question. Because we're sinners. That's why we sin. You say, preacher, are you trying to salt our intelligence? No, that's not my intent. My intent is this, to get us to understand our nature. There is a natural bend to sin because we are sinners. We're wicked, we're hell-bound, hell-deserving because we violated God's law. But the good news is, Jesus stepped into our brokenness. Jesus stepped into our wickedness, and because of that, Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he has the power to forgive us of our sin. You know what's wrong with our culture today? One of the many things that is wrong with our culture? One of the many things that is wrong with our culture, sadly, even in churches today, is people often never want to admit they're wrong. But you know what God says? You humble yourself, he'll lift you up. You acknowledge your sin, he'll forgive it, right? That's what God says. You say, preacher, do you believe the Lord Jesus can bring America back? And I know maybe you're sitting here today and say, yeah, but preacher, you're just old-fashioned. You're just naive. My wife used this phrase the other day. Just an old fuddy-duddy. She didn't call me that. It was in the context of a conversation we were having in our home. Preacher, you're just out of sync. You're just out of touch. On the authority of the Bible, young people, no, I am not. This country needs to get back to Jesus. And if we don't get back to Jesus, we're going to suffer. And I'm not a prophet. If we don't come back to Christ, we will suffer the same fate that the Roman Empire suffered. There was a day when all roads led to Rome. That's true. All roads led to Rome. And we thank God. We honestly do. You study your history. We thank God for Rome in its day as far as what God used the nation of Rome to accomplish and as far as all the different systems that they had. And you say, preacher, what's your point? Well, let's look at the verses real quick. Let me show you a couple things. He says in verse 18, look at this, young people. Romans 1:18, are you there? If you're there, say, I'm there. You're there. All right, now look at verse 18. So Paul's writing. He's writing this passage of Scripture. He's dealing with his culture. There are those who say, oh, the Bible isn't relevant for culture. Hogwash. Yes, indeed, the Bible is relevant for any culture. Here's what the Word of God says. Paul says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look at the rest of it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We see the sovereign in our founding, but we see the sin. We see the sinfulness in our country today. We read Romans, and honestly, it's like we've read it right out of the paper and here in our day. Look at verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. There it is. Did you notice the emphasis on truth? They changed the truth of God into a lie. We live in a culture, young people are on the forefront, they're on the front lines. If you're 25 years or younger, you're on the front lines of this battle. I'm not naive enough to not believe that. He said, preacher, yeah, but I don't want to be made fun of. Well, let me just go on record and make a statement to you. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has forgiven you of all your sins. I hope you hear my heart. On the authority of the Word of God and the principles therein, if you know Jesus Christ your Savior and you're trying to live a life that is pleasing to him, you will never, never fit in this culture. You won't do it. You can't do it. You say, yeah, preacher, I don't understand why they don't invite me to their parties. I'll tell you why. Because you identify with Jesus, you're trying to live a godly life, and you are a threat to their sinfulness. They're uncomfortable around you. Why are they uncomfortable around you? Because the God that you serve. That's why they're uncomfortable. Man, there's so much in this. He goes on, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Boy, is that not our culture? They worship Mother Earth. Give me a break, man. Save the Earth. Are you kidding me? The Earth is going to burn up. You're right. One of these days it's going to. On the authority of the Word of God, God's going to melt it with a fervent heat because of judgment. I can't chase that rabbit. Serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause, look at verse 26. You think the Bible isn't relevant? I'm telling you, these next few verses, rather graphic, are like you're reading them in a newspaper, right, printed off the presses in today's culture. This is God's inspired word. I'm not saying it's a newspaper. I'm saying you could have placed these verses, right in the newspaper today, and it would be relevant. Look at verse 26. For this cause, young people, you looking at it? Look at verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Context, a man lusting after another man. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, verse 27. Literally, the word unseemly means shameful. Homosexuality is a shameful sin. Preach it, brother. Amen. Yes, it is. Homosexuality is a shameful sin. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because you're a bigot? No. I'm not a bigot. I'm saying that because the Bible absolutely condemns it. But the Bible also, yes, you say, preacher, why are you parking on that one? The Bible also condemns adultery. The Bible also condemns fornication. The Bible also condemns idolatry. You can go down the list. Look at the rest. Men with men, verse 27, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet. And even as they did not like, look at this now, verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate literally means is a mind that is void of judgment. We live in a culture, sweet friend, that doesn't think that there is punishment coming for disobedience. I talked to my boys last night. We were talking about a situation. And I said to my boys, Matthew was there. I said, Tobe, I said, Cameron, I said, what would happen if you would have done some of the same things? We were using an illustration. If you would have done some of the same things this other young man would have done. Toby said, oh, Lord. I said, you wouldn't have sat down for a month. Is that right? He said, you better believe it, Daddy. He said, you would have disciplined us. He said, preacher, what's the point? My point is this. My boys, as young as they are, my daughter, as young even as they are, they understand a very basic, fundamental principle of the Word of God. There is punishment for disobedience. Or let me say it like this. There is consequences for disobedience. That's a better rendering. There is consequences for disobedience. Our world tries to tell you if you spank your children, it's punishment. No. I would spank my children on record because I love them. That's why you say, preach, you hold child protective service, show up at your door. I'll spank them too. They belong to me. We gave birth to them. You say, you and your wife? I didn't look like this till I had kids. Yeah. Gained 34 pounds first pregnancy. True story. Say, how much your wife gained? Are you kidding? Have you lost your mind to ask a question like that? I ain't going to tell you how much she gained. I think it was about a half a pound. There's consequences for disobedience. There's consequences for disobedience. Rest of the verses, I just want to read them, make a couple comments, and we're done. You say, you went over your 7 minutes. I'm glad you can tell time. Verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. There's some things they don't like to do. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 28. Not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. Malignity is evil-mindedness. Debate is strife, backbiters, haters of God. We live in a culture. We live in a country and a culture that hates the God that you and I serve. You didn't hear me. They hate the God that you and I serve. Why? Let me tell you why, young people. Because the God that you and I serve as a born-again believer in Jesus is a threat to their sinful choices. Because if you have the God that you and I, as a believer in Jesus, if you have Him as your Savior, it's impossible. Hear me. It's impossible. It is impossible to do those kinds of sins and it not bother you as a believer. It's impossible. You say, preacher, are you saying a Christian can't do those kinds of sins? No, I'm not saying a Christian can't do those sins. But what I am saying is this. And by the way, I'm not saying that Christians, maybe even in this room, don't struggle with some of those same sinful desires. I know Christian people that have struggled with homosexuality. I know that has struggled with the thoughts. You say, oh, wow, really? Yeah, and I also know some Christian people that struggle with adultery. I know some Christian people that struggle with idolatry. Fornication, you can list the sin. But as I said to somebody recently, God loves His children too much. Young people, please hear this. God loves His people too much to let us sin successfully. He loves His children too much to let us sin successfully. The sin of America. What's the hope for America? What's the solution? Verse 14, 15, and 16. Paul says, I'm debtor. I'm ready. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What's the hope for America? Same as it always been, Brian. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the hope, man. That's why we got to get busy, church. We got to get it. We got to get the gospel out there. The gospel has the power of God to change people. You say, yeah, but preacher, we live in a culture. They hate God. You're right. I saw a picture. I think it's true. I saw a picture of some, they welcomed some homosexuals, outspoken, you know, very, very out there saying that we're homosexual. They went to the White House this week, and there's a picture of them. I don't know if it's on Instagram or whatever was on one of those social media sites. And it shows those homosexuals flipping off their middle fingers up in the air, a picture, and behind them is a picture of Ronald Reagan. Yeah. That's a shame, isn't it? That's a disgrace. I ain't as mean as my preacher. I won't tell you what he used to say, but it involved a barge headed to Cuba, something like that. That's what my preacher used to preach. He said, "Preacher, what's the hope for America?" The Lord Jesus. He's our hope. He's our hope. Maybe here today, he said, "Preacher, I'll be honest, I never really thought about it. I never really, I just kind of go along to get along." Well, you'll never fit in. If you have Christ your Savior, you'll never fit in. And you can sit back and point and say, "Well, we got to be careful and we don't want people to think bad of us." Listen, they already do. It's not a matter of us being tolerant of them. There is a hatred, universal hatred, for any born-again believer that preaches the Word of God and stands on the Bible, because the Bible is a threat to their sinfulness and their wicked lifestyle. But believer, the Bible's a threat to your sinfulness and your wicked lifestyle as well. What will we do with it? Will we change the truth of God into a lie? Will we not like to retain God in our minds? What are we going to do with it? I'll tell you what we better do with it. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. If you're not saved, ask God to save you. And believe the Bible. Trust the Lord as your Savior. If you're saved, maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. I pray for national revival in our country. If God would get a hold get a hold of every born-again believer and bring every one of us that is born again back to "Thus saith the Lord" and living that way, you'd see revival in this land. You would see getting rid of a lot of liberal politicians and media groups that are trying to say that 100% of the people are this way, when statistics track it's less than 3% even believe in homosexuality. Study your facts. Well, the media says it. And the young people, here's what you got to get. You have to understand this. Just because the media says it doesn't mean everybody believes it. And it doesn't make it true. Well, it's got to be true. My teacher said it. If the Word of God backs it up, believe it. Well, it's got to be true that we were not founded on Christian principle, because my professor in university, my professor says we were not founded as a Christian nation. That may be what he says, but you can't deny the facts. I gave you just 15 minutes of facts. There's a plethora. There is a untold thousands, perhaps, of different documents and statements and quotes from former presidents and things. Study your history. Get it in you. Stand with me, please. Went much longer than 7 minutes, I told you. Sorry. Stand. If the Lord's touched your heart, you need to respond. We give you an opportunity to do that. You come as we sing. Brother Stephen, what's your number? 284. Hymn number 284. You come as we sing. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, you need to do that. Maybe you'd like to come to this altar. Just pray for your country. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Would to God we'd come back to our founding. We'd come back to the God that this nation was founded on. You come as we sing.